Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and we are starting a brand new year, and I've got a great series for you. And actually, today what I'm going to be sharing with you is going to really give you an insight and a key into every single struggle, every single temptation you have, and going to help equip you to be able to not just deal with temptation when it comes, but bring yourself to a place where temptation has no place in you. I tell you, I love what Jesus said when he talked about the evil one has nothing in him. I want to tell you something. Based on what we believe, that's really what determines whether or not the evil one has anything in us. And I want to help you come to a place where he has nothing in you. Temptation has no power over you. You live an absolute victory. Listen, be sure and go to our website, www.impactministries.com, and you can watch this message in its entirety, and you can see this series as well as other messages. I want to be a blessing to you this year. Man, if there's anything in the world that will change your life and make it wonderful, is when you can break the destructive cycles that just seem to happen over and over in your life. Don't you just get tired of repeating the same old stuff? Well, I'll tell you what, you don't have to keep repeating the same stuff. This month, Breaking the Cycle, the book and the CD series is our special offer. And I'm telling you, this is going to put tools in your hand so that you can stop repeating these painful cycles over and over again. I tell you, you're going to want to share this message with everybody you know. Today, this series is called Breaking the Cycle, but today we're talking about appealing to lack. Now, this is so incredibly important because this really gets down to the key of every single struggle that we have. The real truth is, if we don't have any sense of lack in our life, there is no basis of temptation whatsoever. Now, really, I've given you the whole message right there. I've given you the whole purpose of this message, but I want to give you some tools now to work around that. I want to give you some insight and some information about what that looks like in real life. You see, what most people do, most people go through cycles in their life, and based on a lot of variables, that cycle can actually, there can be a lot of cycles happening in a person's life. There can be a cycle that you're going through in a relationship, in your marriage, maybe where it's peaceful for a little while, things start going good, and then after they go good for a little while, somebody hurts somebody's feelings, and then suddenly that thing is off course, and then there's stress in there. And then simultaneously, maybe in the area of finances, you tend to do pretty good in finances for a while, and then you have some type of a catastrophe. And then in your health, there's these cycles that we go through. With your children, there's these cycles. And so what happens to us is basically we never really win the battle in any of these one areas. We put out the fires, and we move on to the next fire, because by the time I get this fire put out right here, then another cycle in my life, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's my kids, whether it's my, no matter my marriage, it breaks down, and suddenly I'm in crises. And as soon as I go through all of these things, it's like, okay, by that time, I'm back in the cycle of what happens in my marriage. I'm back in the cycle of what happens in my relationship. And that's where you get that overwhelming feeling like, man, is this all life is? It's just fighting one battle after another, one struggle after another. I tell you, people get so frustrated. People get so tired. They just give up on themselves, and they give up on the promises of God. And that's just the saddest thing in the world, because the only hope we have is ultimately the promises of God. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Peter, it says that we escape the corruption that's in the world through these exceeding great and precious promises of God. Man, if I can't connect to the promises of God in a way that changes something inside me, then the real truth is I'm never, ever, ever going to be able to break the cycle of what I'm going through in my life. So what we want to do in this series, this is where we're going to be going all month long in January. And this is where we go in the book. This is where we go in the CD series. We're just able to do it in greater detail than we can here on these programs. Listen, in these programs, I bring you everything that I can bring you as a gift for free because I want to bless it. I want to bless millions of people. I want to help millions of people the world over. So this is why we put all of this out here. This is why we leave this up on our website so you can go back and study it over and over and over and over again. But we just can't cover it all in these broadcasts, and so we always have other tools for people who say, you know what, that was great, but I'm needing a little more help. I need to dive a little deeper. I need to go a little farther in this. There's some things I don't understand. There's some things I want to work through. And so we make sure that we get great resources and great tools to back up these programs for you. A lot of people, you don't need anything else. Man, you get it. You grab it in the program. Some of you, because of what you've been through, your pain and your suffering that you've been through in life, you're just like, man, I need a little extra help. I need a little extra benefit. So what we said at this point is this. People go through cycles in every part of their life. Marriage, money, health, kids, job, friendships. We go through these cycles. And you know, some of the cycles might take a month to go through. Some of the cycles might take 2 or 3 months to go through. Some of them might take 2 or 3 years to go through. But we tend to find ourselves over and over and over again facing the same challenges. Now, if you're facing the same challenges over and over and over again in any one area of your life, you know, if you're constantly coming back to that place where you're under financial pressure, you know, you may not be broke, but you just find yourself over and over and over in financial pressure. Or if you're constantly coming to that place of conflict in your relationship, or maybe even destroying relationships and having to start all over again, if you see that you're going through a repetitive cycle, I want you to know something. You can break the cycle, and it's not as hard as you think. It's not going to take as long as you think. You know, one of the interesting rules of righteousness, as I would call it, and that is that, you know, there's a biblical principle that says if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. When it comes to believing and operating the truth, you actually get healed quicker than you get sick. It can take years and years and years and years sometimes to wear your body down and get to the place where you are sick, where life isn't working. And you can get healed sometimes with one prayer because you shift what you believe in your heart. Or even if you walk it out using God's wisdom, sometime in a few weeks or a few months, you can totally turn around what took years to happen in your life. And it's the same way financially, it's the same way in every area of your life. It doesn't take as much righteousness, if you will, to overcome a problem as it takes unbelief to get you into the problem. So turning things around is never as hard as getting into the situation. Now the problem is we get into these situations and we have a new normal. In other words, the cycle that we go through to get into these repetitive problems happens over and over and over again, and it's a cycle that we have not only become comfortable with, but it's a cycle to which we have become blind. In other words, whenever we start doing the same things that we've done in the past that get us in trouble, we don't even notice it. You know, I remember when I was, it was actually before I got saved, I was a musician. That's how I made my living. And I remember getting myself in a situation where I didn't have work. And back in those days, Huntsville was an incredibly good town for musicians. You could almost always find a job in a club or find some band that was playing colleges or high schools or this sort of thing. There was always money to be made for a musician in Huntsville. So I knew I would find something, but it was kind of dragging out and it was taking some time. And I remember one night I was riding down the road and I was inwardly, I was thinking, man, here I am again, struggling financially. I make great money, but I'm struggling financially. And I remember making the decision. I'm not even a believer, but I just remember making that decision. I'm never going to be here again. I am done with this. I am done getting to the place to where I'm struggling financially over and over and over again. Well, you know, here's an amazing thing. When you make a decision like that, and it is a true heart decision, the amazing thing is your heart starts guiding you in a new direction. I'm not talking about your mind guiding you. I'm not talking about intellectually sorting it out. I'm talking about internally, your heart will guide you to the things that you choose and to the things that you believe. And you know something? I never found myself there again. Never, ever found myself there again. I broke that cycle. Now, years later, after I was born again, I remember one time when I was in Bible college, I responded to an ad, a sales ad that was in the paper, and I went down and I looked at what the people had to offer, and I wasn't sure if I could afford it or not. I really, really, really wanted it. And the guy, man, he turned the pressure on, and suddenly he started using guilt and manipulation and all of these kinds of things to pressure me into making that decision. And I remember in that situation, I remember saying to myself, if I make an emotional decision, I will end up in trouble. I'm never going to make an emotional financial decision again. And you know what? I rarely ever have since then. And I can point to different areas of my life, financially, different areas of my life where health was concerned, different areas about relationships, different areas with my kids, you know, where there were cycles that were happening over and over and over and over. And I made new decisions. Just, you know, it's not like I got down on my knees and prayed and the heavens opened up and a prophecy came from heaven and a dove came down and told me what to do. No, I just made some good decisions and I began to break those cycles in my life. I want to tell you something. You can break the cycles in your life. But first and foremost, you've got to understand what keeps drawing you into the bad decisions that get you there. Now, I want to tell you, you know, if you find yourself repeating cycles, you can't blame this on the devil. You can't blame this on other people. You can't blame this on God letting you down. You just have to realize that you are making bad decisions. You know, Jesus was a teacher of the principles of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a realm that we enter into. And when we enter into that realm eternally, internally, when we enter into that realm called the kingdom of God, then we begin to experience the resources of that realm. And some people say that the phrase the kingdom of heaven refers to the resources, and the phrase the kingdom of God refers to the realm. So when Jesus was teaching us the principles of how we function in this realm. We stop functioning the way the world functions. We stop functioning based on this system of carnality, and we start functioning based on godly principles. And almost all of the parables of the kingdom, one of the things that was present maybe more than anything else was personal responsibility. Now, I've heard this said, and the person, they were accurate in their information. I think they were inaccurate in their understanding of this information. But it has been said that Jesus taught or spoke more about money than he did any other single thing. He talked about money more than heaven. He talked about money more than hell. He talked about money more than the second coming. He talked about money more than anything. Now, I'm telling you, now today you start talking about money, people lose their minds and they accuse you of being greedy. They'll accuse you of being, you know, name it and claim it, grab it and stab it and all this kind of stuff and irresponsible. But see, the truth is there's a reason why Jesus talked about money as it related to the kingdom of God. You see, most of the parables where he talked about money, money was not the point. But see, because money is something that goes straight to the heart of a person's beliefs. I tell you, when you start getting to what a person believes about money and how they manage their money, why they spend their money the way they do, you start getting close to what that person really believes about themselves, how they feel about themselves in life, how they, you know, what their self-worth is. If you see what people spend money on, their money spending patterns, I'm telling you have insight into that person. And so Jesus used money not so much because he was trying to teach us about money, even though he did, but because how we manage money presents a scenario for understanding personal responsibility and personal management more than possibly anything else. You know, there's a lot of other areas where we need to look at personal management, personal responsibility, but boy, nothing puts a dot, you know, a period at the end of the sentence more clearly than when you're talking about money. When you start talking about money, I'm telling you, you get down to understanding what is really motivating a person, what a person really values, because what you spend money on, that's what you value. So Jesus is using these principles about money to teach us about the kingdom of God. And in all of these parables, what he's really trying to bring us to, he's trying to bring us to understand, you know, personal responsibility, and also he's trying to get us to understand our issues about greed. Because, you know, greed is one of those things. Some theologians say, I don't know that I agree, I don't know that I disagree, but some theologians say that all sins revolve around greed. And you know, the early church taught about the seven deadly sins, and greed was the core of all of the said deadly seven sins. Greed was the one thing that would corrupt every single area of your life. But you know, greed comes from a deeper root. You know, a person that's greedy, it's really about more than money. It's really about more than just trying to acquire a bunch of stuff. It's really about attempting to meet a need in that person's life. You see, the greedy person, the person is always trying to acquire, the person is always trying to get more. And you could really even say the person that gets blinded in a situation is the person who, out of their lack or out of their need, they try to acquire something, buy something, use somebody, get control of something as a way to meet this deep feeling of lack that they have in their life. Now, when you begin to examine the book of Genesis, where sin came into the world, I'm not convinced that we have done a great job theologically of understanding fully what happened at the Garden of Eden. I'm not saying that I fully understand it. I'm just saying that I've seen some things that I think we've overlooked, some things that we should go back and reconsider. You know, nearly every year I go back and spend time just meditating and pondering on the first temptation. And nearly every time I spend time there, God shows me something about how to live more victorious in life, almost every single time. Now, you've heard me say this before. When most people give a definition of sin, it's only half of the definition. And, you know, we'll talk about sin from the concept of having missed the mark. But really the definition doesn't stop there. It's having missed the mark of the prize or missed the mark of the goal. So you start realizing that sin isn't just the fact that we do something wrong. Sin is that we miss out on the prize, or we miss out on the goal. So, you know, in the book of Romans, it tells us that it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, the word glory comes from the Greek word doxa. And the Greek word doxa means, actually, if you look it up, it's pages. In Thayer's lexicon, it is pages, you know, the brightness, the splendor, the greatness, the majesty, all of these concepts. But woven in all these concepts, you come down to view, opinion, and reality. And I understand the glory of God to be, you know, when God spoke something into being, it was glorious because it came into being exactly as he said it should be. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is when something is as it should be. And so when God spoke something into existence, it came into being perfectly, exactly as he intended. So you start understanding that some people look at what God has created and they twist what they see, or they doubt what they see, or they undermine what they see. And so really they don't perceive the glory of God. So one of the functional ways of understanding the glory of God is that the glory of God is God's view, God's opinion, and God's version of reality. Now you see, God created man in His own likeness and His own image. Man could not have been created any more like God. And that was God's view, that was God's opinion, and that was reality, and that was the reality that Adam and Eve lived in until they began having this discussion with the serpent. Now, I want you to understand something. Temptation doesn't start when you begin to entertain sin. Temptation starts when you begin to entertain the logic that was used to undermine your confidence in who you really are. Adam and Eve, see, the serpent comes to him and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you about this fruit of this tree of knowledge and good and evil. They're like, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't touch that. If we eat it or touch it, we'll die. And he says, oh, no. You're not going to die. What's really going to happen is you're going to become like God. Now, Adam and Eve were already like God. But because they got into this conversation, entertaining the possibilities that they weren't really like God, then what happens was they began to fall from or leave the realm of the glory of God. You see, sin doesn't start when we go out and do something evil or when we go do something wrong. Sin begins when in our hearts, in our mind, in our imaginations, in the way we think and feel, we begin to perceive ourselves or anyone, any situation, other than according to God's view, God's reality. Now, whenever Adam and Eve began to entertain that maybe they were not really like God, then they began, for the first time in their lives, to begin to feel lack. Now, this lack created an alternative reality. There was God's reality. They were like God. They were loved of God. They were accepted of God. They were happy. They were satisfied in life. But because they began to entertain something other than what God has said about them, now they began to experience a different version of reality. It wasn't God's reality, it was their reality. And as they entertained that reality and began to feel lack, then all that needed to happen was for there to be an alternative out there that would appeal to their lack, an alternative that would meet the need that really, as long as they were believing the truth, then they were experiencing the truth. As long as they were believing what God said, they were experiencing what God says. And you know, that's really how grace works in the New Testament. When we believe the truth about who we are, we experience the grace of God to be who we really are. You know, grace is not about what God lets you get by with. Grace and mercy are not the same thing. I thank God for mercy. I thank God for all those things. But grace is where God works in us based on us believing that we're righteous. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, having been made righteous, we have peace with God, wherein we have access to grace, wherein we stand. So we have access to grace because we believe that we are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I don't have any feeling of lack in my life, then there's nothing that you can offer me that will make me act in greed. There's nothing you can offer me that will make me act in aggression. There's nothing you can offer me to make me violate the Word of God. There's nothing you can offer me that will make me walk contrary to love. Because you see, as long as I don't feel lack, then the real truth is the evil one has nothing in me. I have no need to go looking somewhere else to meet this imaginary need that's in my heart. Listen, I'll be back with a mentoring moment. Be sure and stick around. You know, in the last few years, one of the most common questions that come to me, or the most common questions that come to me, are really about the end times. You see, people are scared to death about what's going on in the world. People are afraid because of the things that are happening. And you know what? The sad thing is, most of what you hear that teaches you about the end time puts fear in your heart. It really takes you in the wrong direction. It doesn't focus you on what we as people filled with the grace of God can do, what we have, and how we will approach it. And it is time for some material to come out from a grace-based perspective about what it can look like for us as we face what's ahead of us. So I want you to be watching. I'm going to be releasing my new book about the end times. I don't even have the title of it just yet, but I'm going to be releasing it very soon. It is almost completely written. And to be sure that you get information about the special offer that we're going to have, write in, make sure that you are on our mailing list. As a matter of fact, the best thing to do is download our app. I know you can tell this is going to be an incredibly important series for you. You know something? All of us have struggled with these destructive cycles, making the same mistakes over and over and over again. This month's offer, the book and the CD set, is an incredible investment in your life. You know what? I have had hundreds of testimonies from people who have read this book or listened to this CD series that have gotten their life on track, and you can get your life on track and you can get out of the rut. I know I can get out of the rut, and I don't intend to stay in it. Join me in breaking the cycle. I'm sure you could identify with the whole concept of lack creating the opportunity to be drawn into destruction. You know, for example, if you're talking to your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your boyfriend, and they say something that touches on something that makes you feel inadequate. See, that's the feeling of lack. And so the moment that feeling of inadequacy, that moment that feeling of low self-worth, that moment that feeling comes to you, you are usually going to begin to spin off in some very destructive way. You see, that's when we blow up on people. That's when we black out and say crazy things because somebody has touched on our feelings of self-worth. Now, I want you to understand something. If you don't have low self-worth, nobody can touch on those feelings of self-worth. Nobody can send you over the edge. Nobody can manipulate you. Nobody can use you when you have a healthy, biblically based sense of self-worth that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, something I want you to do, and I don't very often get you to focus on negatives, but I want you to do this. This is going to be a great exercise. I want you to write down areas where you feel insecure or inadequate. You may feel inadequate, in your relationship with your spouse and lovemaking. You may feel inadequate in being a provider. You may feel inadequate with certain groups of people that you don't fit in intellectually. And then what I want you to do is just sit down and think about all these, and they may not all come to you at once. But what I want you to do then is I want you to write out, for example, you may say, when I'm around this group of friends, I don't feel like what I have to say would be important. Well, I want you to write, how do I start acting when I have this feeling? And because what I want you to be able to do, I want you to begin to recognize it when lack is taking you in a destructive direction. And that's one of the first steps of solving any problem is noticing what's happening, noticing how you're feeling, noticing where you're going in this. Now listen, this is going to be a great in-depth study we're going to go through every week. Be sure and be back every week, and be sure and share this with all of your friends.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.